Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome to another episode. We are feeling a whole hell of a lot better than last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was, we were both hurting. that night before the last episode, I had the cold sweats. I had the body aches. And you came over and you weren't feeling good yourself.
Well, you actually sound like Mick, and I actually sound like the general. So.
Well, that's right. Well, it is Mick Dagger here. And across from me, as always, is the general. DC, as I call him sometimes.
Or the G
for the general. But I'll tell you, some interesting news, a little bit of history here that is totally beer related. I don't know if you know this, but 200 years ago, there were over 250,000 gallons of beer unleashed onto London streets. It's called the Great Beer Flood of London. 8 people were killed.
That's serious business.
Imagine a 15-foot tall tidal wave of booze crashing into buildings and filling up cellars, all this.
And that happened this week, all this time back?
It was on October 17th, 1814.
Wow.
So 200 years ago.
We should hoist a beer and drink to them. To all the drunk rats.
But this is crazy. It was porter. They were brewing porter.
Mm.
And nuts. Could you imagine that? A 15-foot tall tidal wave of beer coming your way?
Let alone your obituary. Like, here lays a man, rest in peace, who died of a tidal wave of beer. It's like, what?
Yeah, it sounds like a drunkard's obituary, doesn't it? I would put on my beer floaties and just swim in it.
Yeah, that's out of control.
Thought that was interesting, man.
So other than that, you're feeling 5x5 now?
For the most part, yeah. Getting back to normal.
I got just a little tinge there. But
You still have some remnants?
Some phlegm. It just won't quite clear out.
It could be the beer we're sipping on.
Could be.
It's delicious.
Oh, you like this? Yeah. So this is, ironically, I was thinking about that when we were thinking about beers. I told you I'm pretty pumpkined out, so we're switching
already,
over.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still drinking a little bit of pumpkin beer, but since we were on during our trip, one of our stops was Schmaltz Brewing Company talking to our good friend, Brew Crew member, Chris Anderson, and he gave us some of this wonderful Death of a Contract Brewer, which is a black IPA. So for those who are
that's the name of the beer, Death of a Contract Brewer?
Yeah, and I'm going to get into why, but they're located in Clifton Park, New York. That's about 10 minutes north of Albany, about 20 minutes south of Saratoga Springs. You can find them online at schmaltzbrewing.com. It was founded and started in 1996 by Jeremy Cohen. Up until last year, they were contract brewed by Mendocino Brewing Company and their facilities in Saratoga Springs. And so they finally built their own brewery, and so they had this commemorative beer that's called Death of a Contract Brewer.
Nice.
Because they're no longer a contract brewer. So we were able to see their, like I think we talked about in the last episode about House Mouse Scott drinking off the 200 beer barrels of Hot Mama. So it was really, really cool because I couldn't believe how much they grew just in a year and how many additional fermenters that they have in place. And it's just crazy. And so now this beer was like a commemorative, but now they put it into their yearly roundup. So it's offered year round, I guess, now is what they're doing with this.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So they have a 50 barrel brew house. It's a 5-vessel system, and they produce about 20,000 beer barrels annually for capacity. In 2010, they were recognized as the best craft brewer by Beverage World Magazine at the BevStar Awards. And then ratebeer.com is a pretty popular website, like Beer Advocate, where people go on rate beers. They were voted as one of the best breweries best brewers of 2011. So, I love their artwork. I love their shtick and how they always have...
It's the chosen beer.
Yeah, they have the religious references and stuff like that.
B-R-E-W.
They even had a sign. I think it said, like, Christ, this is good beer, something like that. But if you go online to their website, they actually have a couple of videos. I wanted to play this one for you. It cracked me up.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And it kind of lay it out. It's this, like one of these big family reunions and all these older people, Jewish people, and this young guy. And they're like, hey, what are you doing, Shawnee? Oh, I'm going to be a doctor. But here, give it a listen.
Oy vey. Let's hear this.
So what is it that you do, Zach?
Well, I just finished medical school, and now I'm doing medical school.
Can you take a look at this lump? It's a pretty hard lump, but it's not as hard as Heshy's.
Heshy!
I want to show the doctor your lump.
You get this old guy crawling down the...
Look at this. It hurts when I do this, but it doesn't hurt when I do this.
He has phlegm.
He has phlegm. Where's your phlegm?
And then you get all these old people come up to the doctor and want him to take a look, and he's just like, what the hell? And then and on the screen, it pops up here where it says, you know, sometimes it's hard being Jewish, and then sometimes it's not a beer of schmaltz.
It's the size of a plum. Go ahead, touch it.
Hebrew, the chosen beer.
Yes, so, it is.
So I get a kick out of that.
Well, he has phlegm.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I think everybody can relate to that if you've ever had a big family reunion in the older crowd. You know, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
it gets crazy. Yeah, nuts, they start nuts. Talking ailments.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's really funny.
I've
but
got a bunion that won't go away.
I had the opportunity to listen to Jeremy speak at this year at the Craft Brewers Conference out in Denver, and his humble beginnings. And he talks about how it all started off in 1996, where he was squeezing pomegranates for the first Hebrew beer with some friends, and his early distribution was done by himself out of the trunk of his grandmother's car in, you know, San Fran. And he talked about how he would get an order for a case of beer, and he would drive like 30, 40 minutes in one way to deliver it. And he was all excited, but realizing, like, I'm bleeding money here because that's not the most efficient way. Like, probably made, like, you know, $5 off this case of beer, but I just burned up like $20 in gas. And how he didn't have a car. He lived in a small apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he has a great story and stuff. And he
squeezing pomegranates. Is that code? Was he like...
No, it's not code.
Was he filling his grandma's big toe that was the size of a plum?
No, but... in 1997, he contracted with Anderson Valley Brewing Company and expanded distribution to California, Chicago, and New York. So he's really trying to focus on a lot of the metropolitan, you know, high populous areas.
Yeah.
And then he talks about how he pretty much went bankrupt. I remember talking about him talking about his story or whatever. And, you know, he had friends and family that he went after to help him out and how it broke his heart. And then he kind of, I don't know, he went soul searching and... I don't remember the full story, but he basically came back and took another crack at it. And then,
glad he did.
Yeah. And he was able to kind of really get it going that second time more successfully. And in 2003, he moved his operations to Saratoga Springs. And then, that's where he contract brewed with them until just this recently last year. And then that's the reason why this beer, but, he actually wrote a book. I'm trying to remember the name of the book here. I think I got
like a reference of it. A brewing book or
He wrote a book titled Craft Beer Bar Mitzvah, how it took 13 years, extreme Jewish brewing, and circus sideshow freaks to make Schmaltz Brewing an international success.
What is extreme Jewish brewing? What is that? Is that Hasidic brewing?
Well, he does. If you ever seen some of their other beers, like, well, they make lots of different beers with different types of adjuncts, like pomegranate juice and stuff like that. Yeah. But my favorite beer from them, I mean, I really like this beer, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in a second, but they have one called the Rejuvenator. And it's basically a mashup between like a German Doppelbock and a Belgian Abbey Double. It's just really chewy. It's very, you know, the alcohol levels is up there.
It's got to be really smooth and slightly
really,
sweet.
Yeah, I think it's pretty sweet. But, I mean, sweet as in literal, not figuratively. But it's also sweet figuratively. But
yeah,
it's just a lot of mouthfeel there. And it's just, but they also have the Coney Island Lager. Well, they did. They sold it to Boston Beer last year.
Oh.
And I'm just speculating here, but I think he must have probably, that was probably a good chunk of that money, maybe helped him build his brewery is what I'm guessing. Again, I don't know that for a fact, but they still contract brew, and all their Coney Island lineup, which was launched in 2008, and again, they sold it to Boston Beer, i.e. Sam Adams, and they still contract brew them, but they had the Coney Island Lager, the Sword Swallower, Albino Python, Mermaid Pilsner, Human Blockhead, and Freaktoberfest, and they used to use some of those proceeds to support Coney Island. And you ever seen the artwork, it's just a really cool artwork, like Circus Sideshow Freaks type artwork, and I always loved everything that they had, their tin tackers and t-shirts and everything for it. And so, I mean, the Hebrew lineup is pretty good too, but I always really liked the Coney Island.
That just goes to show that the brewing community is a true community.
Yeah.
You know, people don't isolate themselves and shut out all these other brewers or whatnot, even though Boston Beer is essentially can be considered a macro now.
Yeah.
But still, they can identify a good product. And good on him, man. If that helped him facilitate his resurrection as far as a brewer, more power.
Well,
to
he was
him.
Already resurrecting before that, but and then he, you know, he launched. So he had these two lineups of Hebrew and then Coney Island. But it's just again a testament of you know, just true desire. And like in his book, he talks about, like, you know, it was just like juggling all these balls you know, and jack of all trades, master of none. And, you know, he talks about the how he would go ape shit when he was just like, I need some beer labels. And then the contractor would be like, okay, what kind of beer labels do you want? Well, labels to put on bottles. Okay, what kind of paper do you want? Beer label paper. You know what I mean? He's talking like, you know, like, what the fuck, man? How hard is this got to be? And so it's pretty cool. He's a pretty candid type guy. And I just think he's just a really cool laid back guy, but he's definitely gotten there. But real quick, let's talk about this beer, though. So this Death of a Contract Brewer is a 7% ABV. It's, again, a commemorative black IPA. It has 7 different malts and hops. And the reason for anybody that knows Jewish culture or whatever is the Shiva, which is 7 days of mourning for the dead, beginning right after the funeral. So they have 7 different hops, 7 different malts in it.
Sweet.
And released last year. And now, again, it's a year-round offering. But if you look at it, it's very jet black.
Yeah, it's almost coffee black.
Yeah, there's definitely, and then there is some characteristics of coffee in there. I can definitely pick up some dark chocolate.
Yep.
The hops is very forward, very in your face. And I can definitely pick up, you know, some of that citrus, like it's a West Coast style IPA, almost kind of piney resinous type. And
it doesn't linger, though. It's there at the end, but it doesn't linger. It's got a good finish.
But it's definitely, I can taste the roast in there, though.
It's really good.
Mm.
You got to check this out. Death of a Contract Brewer.
Mm, that is good.
Commemorative Black IPA. Ooh, good stuff.
Yeah, I think it tastes like there's more than 7% alcohol in there. But
it seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, one of the more bitter black IPAs I've had. Definitely.
Nothing wrong with that. It's a nice surprise, quite honestly.
Yeah, so.
And keep your seats here. We've got a lot shaking on today's episode. We've got our Heroes Never Die segment coming up.
Yeah, we have
up.
A group. We're going to give a shout out to a group of guys and gal. And
later on, we have, of course, the favorite, Yikem to Sue.
Definitely.
We're going to be looking at a bunch of crazy stuff, ranging from waking up with pink panties on when you didn't have them on originally.
Wow. To a couple having sex stuck at sea. Kind of a play on words there, but you have to just stay tuned to hear more about it.
For some people, that might be a good problem to have. I don't know.
In this case, not so much. Needed a crowbar.
There you go. And don't forget, you can always connect with us online at beerarmy.org. Hit it up. All the links you need for Facebook and all the other social media aspects. And check out our previous episodes. And that important link for Patreon, so you can be a super soldier and do great things with us here at Beer Army.
That's right. Join the Beer Army Bravo Force and become a super soldier. And want to give a shout out to David Ryan for our recent pledger and recent new member of Patreon as far as being a super soldier.
Nice. So, awesome.
Thank you, David, for your support.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Why hasn't a hipster invented skinny overalls?
Are you kidding me? Just stick your head under the water and breathe.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, SuperheroDen.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's SuperheroDen.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to BEERARMY.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at BEERARMY.org.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/BEERARMY and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a Super Soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/BEERARMY.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/BEERARMY.
Beer Army Engaged.
I love this part of the program here because we highlight the good deeds of others. Because in this crazy thing called life, you never know what's going to happen, and you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Victory! That's right. This week, out of the Colorado Springs area, out of Pueblo. I'm sorry, Pueblo.
We'll get your Spanish up to par.
I got you, amigo. We got the ABC affiliate from Channel 13, KRDO News, and a group is honored for their heroic actions.
Nice.
Got a little video here. Just take a listen.
Five People are honored as heroes after saving a coworker's life.
The American Red Cross gave the Lifesaver Award to the group of first responders at Trane, a heating and air conditioning company. They saved a man who was having a heart attack near one of the offices. One of the award winners says he will never forget that day.
So what happened?
Yeah, so...
I mean, a heart attack, obviously, but these guys must have gone above and beyond here.
So they're just doing, like, you know, every day you find yourself in a workplace. In this case, it was train, you know, heating and air, like those... Yeah. Like, never, nothing stops a train or whatever. And one of their coworkers just started having a heart attack. And, like, a lot of companies, they'll pay for training for CPR, first aid, first responder type stuff.
Oh, these weren't traditional first responders.
No, these are not paramedics. These are actual coworkers.
Wow.
Who received the training.
Nice.
So they're just doing their gig, you know, working their day, and all of a sudden, you know, a guy goes down, and they respond right to it. And Jared Wells, he was one that was being interviewed there, just basically saying, like, up to this point, it's always been on dummies, you know, like mannequin type, and all of a sudden, you're doing it for real, and just how the training kind of kicked in. And he was really, really humble about it, just talking about, you know, like, you know, 1 minute, you're just going through your life, and all of a sudden, bam, something, you know, you're put in that situation, kind of like what this segment's always talked about, because you never know when you have to step into that gap.
What's interesting with this is I was reading just the other day that altruism happens on impulse.
Yeah.
Which is interesting when you think about it, where some people will just respond and do what needs to be done. And if they have the training, they'll do it. But it's not anything they have to think about deciding to do. They just do it.
Well, I think that always goes back to the argument, or is humankind inherently evil or inherently good? I think good.
Oh, yeah.
I think given the opportunity, people will do the right thing. For the most part, not everybody, not 100%. But I think altruistically, people, we do as a human race for the most part. And so we want to give our shout out, and the individuals, and name them by name here, is James Bradley, Jared Wells, Dennis McDonald, Domingo Leon, and Nicole Sanchez for stepping up and earning that Lifesaver Award from the American Red Cross for their heroic actions. Because of them, somebody else, their coworker, is alive. So that's just awesome. And
that's great.
It, again, just portrays what this segment's all about.
Well, what's interesting is they lead into that, leading you to believe that they're traditional first responders.
Right.
No, they were trained, thanks to their workplace,
right,
in life-saving techniques, and happened to be the first people to respond to it because they had the training and they were able to do it.
That's just on
really
there. I mean,
cool.
It's like walking down the street and all of a sudden somebody's having a heart attack. That's basically the situation that you're put in, you know. And it's amazing. Well, what's some of the crazy, like, I'm sure, like, you've had to have been, well, besides being on a porn jet airliner or whatever, I'm sure there's going to be times when you're just like, holy crap, like, is this going down? I mean, I'm not necessarily soliciting, like, life-saving type stuff per se, but, like...
Oh, there have been some, you know, life-saving situations I've found myself in, but other than being solicited to do porn on an airline, I'm trying to think here. I have a knack of finding myself in really odd situations.
Obviously, okay. You seem to always find the best Yikin to Sue's segments or news stories.
Well, there's plenty of insanity in the world to find. You just got to look for.
No, I'm talking about the insanity of the world of Mick. Seems like there's enough crazy stuff going on.
Oh, I'm trying to think about any of the most absurd ones. Well, actually, just earlier today. Actually, it's crazy. I was out, you know, my day job, I work for a radio station here in North Carolina. I'm out doing a live appearance in a broadcast, and this dude is setting up sound for this festival going on in Eastern North Carolina, but this guy just won't leave me alone. He won't. He's looking at me, and he's, like, doing air guitar.
What?
And he keeps yelling out, you know, my name. He's like, hey, man, hey. And he's just, like, wailing air guitar. I'm like, you go, buddy. And
you got groupies?
The first time, I'm thinking, yeah, cool. All right, rock on, buddy. But he did it, like, five times. It was just, like, yell from 100 feet away. Hey, check it out. And then he was doing air guitar. He had a ponytail. He had on, like, it looked like a white T-shirt that he'd never washed.
Nice.
And he was wearing like red sweatpants that were like a size too small. He wasn't skinny. And he had on old school like high tops.
Interesting.
And the guy just was. And then I had an extension cord laid out, and he's like, hey, somebody's gonna trip on this. You better tape it down.
Onto the ground.
And it's grass. It's in the grass. And I was like, yeah, you got any grass gaffers tape? He's like, yeah, I got some grass in my truck, man. The dude was nuts. But that's just one example. That's one that pops to mind. It's incessant air guitar from somebody. Imagine somebody pointing at you, singling you out.
Yeah.
And people turn and look.
And this was in the morning, too. This wasn't like in the evening people are getting.
Yeah, but there's still people around. Still people around. And so when this guy's yelling at me, people look to me for my response, and all this guy's doing is like doing absurd air guitar. Like I'm supposed to cheer him on.
Like you're supposed to do like a Bill and Ted air guitar thing back or something?
Oh, man, it was so crazy. But whatever, man. People are who they are. You accept them for who they are, not what they aren't. So I just had fun with a guy.
You gotta love it.
But
I can remember.
How about you, man?
No, well, I'm trying to think of like some crazy type. Just like, how did I just get myself into this type situations?
And, I have those too.
Yeah, and
that happened to me. I didn't get myself into that, but
I remember preparing for a MEU deployment in the Marine Corps as a young lieutenant, and we had to go do Broward County Navy Days down in Florida, which is like part of Navy Fleet Week.
Oh wow!
And everybody's dressed up in uniform. You're doing the displays, and it's opportunity for the military to socially interact with the populace, and just kind of.
That's Miami, right? Broward County.
It's north. I think it's Fort Lauderdale area. North a little bit. And
all right, okay.
So the first night out, because you come in ship, and everybody's manning the rails. So you got sailor marine. So all the sailors are wearing their whites and what I call the Cracker Jack uniform or whatever, and all the Marines are wearing chucks, which is the green OD type trousers, and then a khaki brown type shirt. And we get your ribbons on and all this stuff. And so you come in, but then we go out on the town. And so, you're going into bars and clubs and you're all wearing uniforms. And we're
North Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale. So
anybody think YMCA? What happened?
Well, we go into a bar or whatever. And long story short, it ended up being an off-duty deputy for the sheriff's department for Broward County. And it turned out that he was gay. And he was, I didn't realize it, but he was hitting on me. I didn't realize it at the time. Until he kind of like threw it out there, like, I believe in, living free and let live type thing and exploring new things, And I'm like, oh, that's cool and stuff. And he goes, for me, he goes, I'm gay. And I don't think, I'm like, oh, okay, And then I think that's when it kind of snapped. I think he's hitting on me. And our supply officer, his name was Keedy. I used to love busting this guy's balls. And so I said, what are you drinking? Let me buy you, whatever you're drinking. I don't remember what he's drinking. And I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, our suppo owes me one. And so I pull him in. I'm like, hey, and I introduce him. And I'm like, hey, he said, and then I kind of like walked away. And then Keedy, when we got back on ship, he's like, you son of a bitch. I'm like, what? And he's like, God damn it. You know what? And I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. He goes, that guy was gay and he was hitting on me all night.
You pulled him into an ambush. Yeah.
And I was like, why are you so homophobic, man? Why are you gonna be so damn homophobic? Let live, right? And stuff. But on Keedy's part, later on that night, it was out of control. We went to some club and they ended up having like a wet t-shirt contest. And
a female wet t-shirt?
Yes, females.
Okay.
But underneath our uniforms, we have white t-shirts. Okay.
Oh no.
Well, no. So there were some girls that were like, "Oh, I would go down."
I don't have a t-shirt.
Right. Yeah. I don't have a t-shirt type thing. And Kitty's like, "Oh, I got one," and he rips off and shirt stays are these extenders like they're like suspenders that connect your socks to your shirt to kind of keep your shirt down.
Uncomfortable things to wear.
That thing goes snapping. He's got buttons flying. He's got ribbons, just falling off. And he's like, it takes off. And he's like a woolly mammoth. So now he has his shirt kind of like around his waist type thing. And he's ripping off the white shirt. And the girl actually goes down and competes. And I'm like looking at my, I'm like, perfect situation. Like, how the hell did we just get here? Like, from there to there and matter, 2 seconds flat. So, yeah. And then, it was a good time, but.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. That's, if you've never been to Fort Lauderdale, that is definitely something you have to mark off your bucket list at least once.
And wear a white t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've gotten hit on by gay guys too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I lived in Baltimore. I mean, it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
But I used to.
And I just want to disclaim that we have nothing against gay or lesbian people at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
Just one of the things that happens from time to time.
There's no phobia. Yeah. Seriously, look, there may be somebody that's gay that's listening now get hit on by a straight person and you think it's awkward.
Yeah.
So, you know what? It's a two-way street there.
I hear you.
But I got hit on incessantly in Baltimore and I was like, look, I'm not gay. I appreciate it. I'm flattered, but I'm not gay.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not be gay? How can you have a gay person tell you how can you not be gay? And
I'm like, well,
why do you think I am? Yeah. You know what the reasoning and the justification I got for why I should be
gay? Let me guess, that mustache.
No. I didn't have a beard at that time.
Okay.
Nor a mustache. No, I was told, It's because you dress nice and you're well-spoken.
So you're metrosexual, so you're gay.
So apparently, yeah. Being well-spoken and looking good with the clothes you wear should make you a gay guy.
Were you wearing like bow ties or anything like that?
No, I wasn't wearing bow ties.
Oh. Pastel colors?
No, I had a very urban hip. Were you doing
like a Miami Vice type pastel thing?
No, I got that out of my system in the 80s. Yeah. No, I wore a lot of like neutral, like grays and blacks.
Well, I was going to say, pastels aren't neutral in my eyes, but.
Yeah. No, I wasn't wearing pastels. Okay, I said checking. I got that out in the 80s. You know, sure. What guy didn't want to be Don Johnson?
I was just going
to
ask you if you're, you know, what was it, Tubbs or Crockett? Crockett
well,
or
see, Tubbs? The cool thing is my first and middle name, it's. You know, Mix short for Michael.
Yeah.
That's my nickname. But my, it's Michael Phillip. So I thought it was cool that Philip Michael Thomas was, you know, Tubbs. You know, but I was Michael Phillip. So.
Of course, you're white.
I felt a connection to, yeah, of course, I'm white. And, yeah. But know. No, I did dress like Don Johnson.
Well, very nice. Very nice.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, you never know what kind of situation you'll find yourself in. Like in our next, you know, when we come out of the break, like, I don't know, having sex with a woman in the ocean and you get stuck, you know, and you can't, like, remove.
Talk about awkward.
Tab A from slot B.
How do you tread water when you're physically attached to somebody?
I don't know, but we're going to cover that coming up.
Find out. Not only this, but we're going to look at, you know, waking up from a common little medical procedure, but yet you suddenly have on pink panties.
Nice.
And you're a dude. It's all on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome back. Don't forget, online at BeerArmy.org, you can help us do great things and become a super soldier by checking out Patreon. You can link to it right there, or if you want to go to Patreon directly, it's patreon.com/beerarmy.
That's right, and help us offset the cost, the production cost of this show, which enables us to focus more of our time and energy and resources on raising money for charity, specifically our vision, our mission statements, which is scholarships for education, provide volunteer opportunities for those to show altruistically their support of their community, and just provide economic impact. You know, the best way I could sum it up, it's doing investments in social enterprises.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cool thing is that you are having a positive impact in your community.
Definitely.
That's the cool thing.
Definitely.
So definitely hit it up and check it out. And right now, oh, it's one of the favorite segments of a lot of listeners here of Beer Army Engaged. Because in a screwed up world like this, it's time for us to yick 'em to sue. Dustin, I have a question for you in regard to animals.
Shoot.
Do you believe any animal can speak? Like, it actually say words that sound like human words?
Well, parrots, right?
Parrots, yeah.
You know, cockatoos or whatever.
Well, I'm sure you've seen America's Funniest Home Videos where dogs say, like, mama.
Yeah,
know,
exactly.
All that stuff. But, yeah. Well,
but actually say words? No, I don't believe they can actually.
How about a crow dropping an F-bomb?
A crow dropping an F-bomb.
No, you can't make this up.
As in a black crow.
There's a guy sitting on his porch.
Okay.
A crow lands, and the guy's a little intimidated by it. It hops up onto the arm of the chair he's sitting in, and the following happens. Pay attention to this.
Try to pet him.
No, not. I never got the big head.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
That was the actual crow
The actual crow dropped an F-bomb.
Like, fuck
right after the guy said, I'm not going to pet this crow because it has a big-ass beak. And then the crow goes, fuck you.
Oh, that is awesome.
You can't make that up.
No, that's crazy. Is that video?
That's video. Okay, yeah, we'll have it up. We'll have it up for you on beerarmy.org.
I'll have to watch that because I got to see that. Jeez. Well, how about this? How about you're in a steamy, you know, sultry Italian ocean sea, you know, and you're getting on. You know, you got a little freaking Barry Manilow plane or whatever, and all of a sudden you're in the ocean, right? And you're like, "Hey, things are getting serious."
You've painted a picture. Yeah, I'm feeling a little saucy.
That's right. I mean, I'm
in a sultry Italian sea.
That's right. Do you just call time out, or do you like?
Well, who am I there with?
Well, with a female, of course. If
I'm there with myself, I don't call a timeout anyway.
So the Daily Mirror is reporting, and the reporter is, get this, Paul Cochran.
It was telling the story about somebody who wants to get it on?
Cochran, yes. Yeah. And the headline's a couple having sex and sea become stuck together. And they basically had to be transported to a hospital to get unstuck. Now, would you like to take a guess that they, you know, they're not both braces and they were kissing or something, kind of stuck? Or do you want, you know?
What was it? Were they?
No.
It wasn't dental equipment?
No. This was, you know, tab A and slotted in slot B, inserted in slot B. And then the gentleman, I don't know, I guess he's Don Juan or something, but was
created. Don Wand?
He created a suction between his penis and her vagina to the point where they couldn't get uncopulated.
So I think that would be more the suction on her part, wouldn't it?
Well, he's the one that's
getting...
Well,
it doesn't matter, they're stuck.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Does it give any details into what position they were? Because that could have been visually hilarious.
Well, you know, I'm imagining that it must have been in the ocean. She must have been kind of like what, cowgirl up, but both of them are up, I guess.
Yeah, you couldn't tread water because you'd bump knees.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they weren't in the deep ocean. I mean, he obviously was deep, but they weren't in the deep ocean. But yeah, so the couple.
Well, if it were, you know, doggy style, they could have swam to shore. Like a tandem bicycle.
So this couple's sexy tryst in the sea ended in agony when their genitals become stuck together.
Oh, that does sound uncomfortable.
And so the gentleman was unable to extricate himself from the woman due to suction. Unfortunately, the innocent
more
bystander
muscle lock or something.
Fortunately, an innocent bystander helped and arrived in the form of a woman walking alone on the beach in the Marche region of Italy. She handed them a towel as they maneuvered to the beach, still in quotations as one, to protect their modesty. And then they were taken to the hospital where a doctor freed them by. You want to take a guess at how he freed them?
I don't know. Vice grips?
Vice, no. He administered an injection to dilate the woman's uterus.
Okay, so it was her. It was muscle lock.
No, but think about it.
She must have.
In her uterus? I mean, holy smokes.
Maybe she did Kegels too earlier in the day. She did too many of them, and like her muscles just cramped up and locked up. I don't know.
But or either that, the guy's hung like a bull, man. I mean, come on. Are you kidding
that
me?
Could be too.
Holy smokes.
It could be.
I wish that was a personal story.
I'm just a very kind stranger.
A very nice stranger. It's like, here, take this towel. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have anything bigger than a washcloth?
You look like you need the help here. Just your penis stuck in the vagina. I get a towel for you. You get the doctor. Everything be okay.
Right?
So, awesome.
Well, to go from genitalia being physically stuck to mental trauma being permanently stuck in your brain, I guess. Uh-oh. Imagine getting a colonoscopy.
That's fun.
As a dude.
Yeah.
It's already compromising.
Yeah, I mean, you're already in a fetal position. You feel so used and abused. You feel like there should be money on the freaking end table.
That's just a prostate check. A full colonoscopy. I mean, you're put under all this stuff.
That doesn't mean I want it anymore.
A GoPro shoved up your rear end.
No.
So you're given anesthesia. You're knocked out. Imagine waking up to find yourself wearing pink panties.
Pink panties?
Yeah, what would you do?
If I would have been like, couldn't get blue? I'd be like, okay, how do I have pink panties on?
Exactly. That would be like, where did these come from?
I mean, I guess I would check to make sure my balls are intact because I'd just been violated.
True.
So I want to make sure maybe I didn't have a sex change operation while I was under.
Well, this dude named Andrew Walls, 32 years old, has filed a lawsuit. He's filed a lawsuit against his former employer, which was the Delaware Surgery Center in Dover, Delaware. He's seeking damages for intentional infliction of emotional distress.
So he was.
They must have been too small. I don't know.
So he was employed by the company that gave him the operation.
Well, he's no longer employed by them, but yeah, he's claiming he knows who it is. It's former coworkers there and whatnot. But the interesting thing is, with a lawsuit, you have to explain in a lawsuit how it, if you're seeking any sort of, you know,
damages,
compensation from it or whatnot. But he's claiming loss of wages from the emotional distress.
Okay.
And once in not only that, but loss of earning capacity and his due compensation.
Huh.
Now, was it because he? I don't get it. I don't want to knock the guy. Yeah. Obviously, if I woke up and I was wearing pink panties, I don't know how pissed they got there. I would be. I'd be justifiably upset.
But if I worked there and that chances are he kind of has an idea. Well, that just to me sounds like a fellow coworker who hooked him up.
But
literally. Well,
How does losing your underwear and finding out you have pink panties on, how does that generate a loss of wages?
Maybe because he cross-dresses
in earning capacity.
I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is he likes them too much. Maybe they're a little tight and he's not as mobile as he used to be and he was a door-to-door salesman.
Nah, listen, I'll call a spade a spade. This guy's a jerk-off. And that's the reason why freaking lawyers, why I hate him so much and why the insurance company is such out of control, because people have frivolous lawsuits for such bullshit, you know? And meanwhile, this asshole's taking up valuable court time that could be used for something
money,
else.
All that
such
stuff.
Bullshit. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, that would piss me off, but you know, emotional distress, freaking loss of earning potential.
The screwed up thing with this is this guy waited until one day before the statute of limitations.
Nah, yeah, that's bullshit. That's
before
bullshit.
Filing the complaint.
Well, I'll tell you, it's about as much bullshit as our next story with the beer industry down in Florida, specifically the beer industry of Florida, which is basically a cover for big beer, you know, macros and stuff. And we're not going to bash on macros per se, but I don't know if you know this. You know what a growler is, right?
No, oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a 64-ounce jug type thing, you know, and there's different sizes. Sometimes you have 32s, but usually 64 is the most common size, like everywhere, anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah.
You ask for a growler, chances are you're going to get a 64 brown, amber-colored jug. Well, guess what? Down in Florida, you can't get that. It's illegal.
Why? Why is it illegal?
Because they got some bullshit law, which I guarantee you is backed by freaking big beer, that prevents it. Because guess what? That's competition, right? And of course, these assholes are trying to say, oh, it goes all the way back to the 20s. But for 2 years, Nimic, two freaking years, the microbrew industry is the guy trying to get together and trying to get this law pushed so that they can have 64-ounce growlers. And it's just like they're hoping for next year to have what they're calling the Clean Growler Bill. And
they've been trying for 2 years.
Yeah, it's freaking out of control, and it's like something out of Boardwalk Empire, you know?
Well, it sounds like it's Florida's version of Michael Bloomberg in New York City, you know, making it impossible to get a 32-ounce soda, but you can buy two 16-ounce sodas.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, down in Florida, they have complex regulations, just like almost any other state, especially down here in the South or whatever. But it goes all the way back to the monopolies that prevent social, you know, societal abuses that dates back to the 20s when we came out of Prohibition. You know, with tied housing and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I get all that stuff. But what you have is this tug of war over the size of a beer growler. And the ones that get hurt are craft brewers because traditionally they offer 64 ounces. You know, when you have Bud Miller Coors out there, I mean, next time you walk into a grocery store, how many different ways do I need to get Bud Miller or Coors?
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, I drink Coors Light, you know, when it's iced up on the beach, the mountains are blue. I'm not a bashing per se, but if you ever notice, I can get it in 12-ounce. I can give it 16-ounce, long necks, short necks, freaking cans, tall boys, freaking 32-ounce cans, freaking suitcases, 16-ounce packs. I mean, it's like, are you freaking kidding me?
They even had those little kegs of Coors Light a couple years ago. You remember those?
Yeah.
I think those were probably 64 ounces.
And so the beer industry of Florida, again, to me, that's just a cover for big beer. You know, they're saying, well, we need to approach this slowly, make sure we don't, you know, get into something that gets us back to where we were at, where, you know, breweries were delivering beer directly to consumers and some of the cutthroat backdoor deals. And I'm thinking, yeah, guess what? The small microbrewery guys don't have pockets deep enough, you know, to play that game.
Somebody going
to
pull a Model A Ford out of their garage and start doing beer runs?
It's bullshit. I mean, it's total bullshit. And I really hope that all the craft brewers down there, I hope they get this crap straightened out so that they can start offering beer in 64-ounce growlers like every freaking buddy else across the states. You know,
well, some people want to take a good beer home with them, and a growler's a great way to do that.
And I'll tell you, you know, Bud Miller Coors or whatever, hey, I'm not knocking on them. I'm not.
No, I get it. You're not, but you can't corner the market. And
exactly, because to me, you're flexing your muscle and you're putting an influence, you know? Yeah. And like, how much more revenue are you going to lose by allowing them to have it? I think if you capitulate it, it makes you look more classy. That's all I'll say. You know?
Yeah, you got it. Well, that's a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah, it pissed me off. I guess I got to drink another beer now.
Well, you should be. I'd be frustrated if I were in Florida and I couldn't get a growler. I really would.
Definitely.
And wow, man, this show went by quick, didn't it?
Again.
Well, we appreciate you being here with us and enjoying Beer Army Engaged. You can get all the past episodes you need there on beerarmy.org. Click on the radio tab and you'll be on your way. Peruse all the stuff. And if you are listening on iTunes, rate us and give us a review. That's going to help share the experience and the wealth, because in doing that, and rating and reviewing it, it's more likely for other people to come upon it. So just like you share your favorite beers, share your favorite beer-related podcast.
And exactly. And if you got hate mail, if you got any constructive or deconstructive criticism of the show, you can send it to radio@beerarmy.org. We want to hear it. You can tag us on our Facebook page, whatever. And if you want to be anonymous, you can do that too.
Yeah, anonymity can be a good thing sometimes. Yeah. So. And don't forget, Patreon, always a great way to be a part of Beer Army, the experience of Beer Army, and be a super soldier.
Awesome.
And join us next week. We'll be back with a whole lot more.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.